What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African Americans who have seen success within the sport. We will also bring you some news from our favorite teams in the Premier League, as well as informing you on other top European leagues and soccer news worldwide. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Again, my name is Cornelius, and I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Welcome back, Carrie. How are you feeling today?
Feel great. Happy to be here. Glory, glory.
Salam, how you feeling, bro?
Fantastic, man. Never been better. It's been a while since I felt like this, for sure. Gabriel, how about you, bro?
Not too bad. It could be better, but it's okay. Carlos, how you feeling?
Feeling all right. A little tired, but I'm happy to be here. Shout out to Edmund and Amanda once again, our cousins who got engaged. We were in Dallas over the weekend. It was actually cool. We actually got to see the FC Dallas facilities. He lives like maybe like 20, 25 minutes away from there. He's the city over, but FC Dallas facilities are crazy, bro. They just have like fields, like just like so many fields. It looks like it's crazy. It's just like they have their facility, then you go down, there's like fields that you could tell that the maybe the academy or you know, like the teams use. And then there's just like fields for maybe just like, I don't know, a good like 3-4 blocks of just like fields all the way down. So it was cool to see that. But yeah, man, just hopping into the Premier League news today. Just a few things before we hop into our team. So Southampton sack Russell Martin and Wolves sack Gary O'Neill. Obviously those two teams are at the bottom of the Premier League table, Wolves and Southampton respectfully, with Ipswich in that third spot, but they're trying to climb their way out of the relegation zone. But Southampton and Wolves sacked their coaches. Is this something that we expected? We kind of have seen how they've been struggling through the Prem in this 2024, you know, first half of the season. But do you think we see any more sackings, or are these two kind of warranted based on how they started?
These two are definitely warranted. I think if any coach started off with their record right now, they'd be looking at them like, yeah, you might have to go. But, you know, I don't think it'll do much for them. You know, I still think, like, Southampton's going down for sure. I think Wolves will go down when it shakes down to it, and then someone else will join. I don't know. That's just what I believe. But it is what it is.
Yeah, the Wolves job, the Wolves manager, definitely Gary O'Neill. I definitely thought that he was probably going to get let go before the end of the season, especially when you look at just kind of how the game kind of transpired. You're seeing some of the players, like, I don't know, it just doesn't really seem like everybody was really, you know, kind of together and like a cohesive unit, but they're in a tough position, so like I get it. It's tough for all of them involved. But answer the second part of your question. I guess the only other manager going forward that I think could potentially be in trouble is West Ham's manager. He's managed to get a few wins here, and by no means am I saying that I want him like to lose his job, because I think that he, in other places he's shown that he can get the job done, but he has a talented group of players, and I feel like he could definitely get in the most out of that team. So he's the only one that I think that potentially could go. But yeah, Southampton manager, I mean, yeah, that's clearly a first in the league.
I would say the Southampton manager, he definitely had to go. I think they're definitely going down. The Wolves manager, I was shocked by it only because they just gave him a new 4-year deal like 5 months ago. So, you know, to just get a 4-year contract and to be out 5 months later, you know, they probably could have tried to work something out, maybe give him a little more support. But West Ham for sure, I think he's just on the clock. He's really on the clock. And depending how Everton shake out, I think their manager is on watch. Should be on watch also too.
Sean Dyche.
Yeah. He this is what his second season he's going in there with them. So I mean, and he has a decent enough squad that he shouldn't be hovering that far down in the bottom. So we'll ultimately see what happens there with them. But everyone else, I mean, they should be safe in theory.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, just speaking about Southampton, they got smacked 5-0 to Spurs today. I mean, we've kind of all said it. The Southampton team is very, very bad. But do we see any turning around with them this season? Or
I think at this point it's just a little too late. There's too many, you know, it's like too many points dropped. I mean, I'm looking at the table now, and I mean, you have 5 points. You know, you have 5 points. It's going to be tough for you to get out of the relegation spot, especially, you know, well, I mean, you know, the gap between them and Ipswich is only 7 points because Ipswich has 12 points. So, I mean, they would need to go on, you know, a 3-game winning streak to, you know, get to where Leicester's at, which is 17th place. But I don't know. I just feel like it's, at this point, it's just too many points drop, man. It's you're expecting a lot. And I mean, you're also hoping that you win every game.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, this was a big win for Spurs. This puts them back into the top 10. We know about Spurs. They've had an up and down season. Obviously, the injuries last week in the Chelsea's match to Romero and Van der Ven. What do we think about their season? Do you think they can get a European spot? Or is it kind of still too early to tell right now?
I mean, they can still get a Conference League, maybe Europa, but I don't think they're going to be in top four, anywhere near top four. I think that's wash. Maybe a European spot, maybe a Conference League.
I mean, I would say they're still in a shot for top four, in my opinion. If you really look at the table points wise. I mean, between where they're 10th right now and fourth place is only literally 7 points ahead of them. No, not even seven. It's less than that. It's actually 5 points ahead of them.
Yeah,
so when you really look at it from that standpoint, this is like one of the tightest tables I've seen in a long time from 14th through like four, you know, and all of these teams still have to play other with a lot of these injuries and whatnot. So I think anything can happen. To me, the ones that I think will fall out will be Bournemouth will fall out of that. I think Fulham will probably fall out. You know, Brighton is a scary team as long as they're healthy. Forest is an interesting team because they have no European competition. So all they have to do is get up every week for the Prem. So to me, they're equivalent to like Aston Villa of last season, where they really didn't have anything to worry about but just the Premier League season. So, this is a very, very strange season, I would say. You know, it's been up in the air. But I wouldn't rule Tottenham out of getting a top four spot. But I'll a European spot. But top four, I think, will be a little harder for them to get. We could see them in probably Europa. I think that can possibly happen for them if they stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean they're in the Conference League too, I believe. So I mean I think that they between them and Chelsea, I would imagine that, you know, one of you guys are probably the favorites. So I think them winning the Conference League and then getting into what happens when you win that?
Who's Spurs in the Conference League?
Isn't Spurs in the Conference League?
No.
They're not in Europa. Spurs are in Europa.
Europa.
Yeah, Spurs is in the European competition.
If they're in Europa, that could be a I would say a better chance of getting into the Champions League as opposed to them finishing top four. I mean, they're only on top of us of like 1 point. I think we'll finish above Spurs. I mean, that's I know back in New York, I said that we'd finish above Chelsea, but that's it's obviously not the case anymore. No, but I think good win for them, by all means. I mean, to pull up five, great, but top four, I don't know, man. I feel like other teams could be heating up at the right time. So,
I mean, I'll say this as far as Spurs. When you look at, you know, teams that are fighting for the top four spot right now, Liverpool, goal differential, plus 18. Chelsea, goal differential, plus 18. Arsenal, goal differential, plus 14. The only other team that actually is up there is Spurs, plus 17. Yep. You know, I mean, right now they are, you know, lower down the table, but we talk about this all the time. These goal differentials are going to matter. This 5-0 win down the road is going to matter. So if they do, you know, find some form, find a little bit more stability when they get players back, if they can go on a little run, they have a very, very good, you know, point to prove right now, where if they start winning games and they start moving up the table, top four could be a little sticky for a few of these teams that don't have the goals. So, you know, these teams like City, these teams like Villa, they kind of have to look out, because, you know, if they start dropping down the table, goal differential is going to be very, very important, you know, come week 30, week 31, week 32. So I don't know. I just thought it was something that we should just keep an eye on. I know how we all feel about Spurs in here, but when you look at their goal differential, they are up there with, you know, the top four teams. So
they score a lot, but I will say this too. Their center back pairing, Gray and Dragosin, I'm curious to see what they look like next week. They're actually a little bit more challenged.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I mean, their injuries are massive, so their back line is definitely depleted right now. So, yeah, I just thought it was interesting because I was looking at the table and I'm like, Tottenham's the only other team with a positive double-digit goal differential right now outside of the top four. So, you kind of have to give them their credit. They do score goals.
Yeah, they're inconsistently consistent in terms of like when they do score, they score like fours, and when they do score a lot, they keep clean sheets. That's the next thing too, which is very, very strange, you know. But their next run of games, you know, they got some difficult games coming up. They got Liverpool, then they have Nottingham Forest. Wolves is an easier game. You have Newcastle, Arsenal, and then Everton. So I mean, they got a, you know, fairly tough run of games, but knowing Spurs, you know, they're the type of team to beat Liverpool and drop points to Wolves, you know?
Yeah. True. No, facts. True. So, and I was just, you know, just a segue into Liverpool, you know, that's a great point, because they do have Liverpool coming up here very soon. And we've seen Liverpool in these last couple of weeks start to drop points, you know? Everybody can get got, as we say, this is the Premier League. And honestly, shout out to who a Liverpool player? Why am I tweaking right now? Shout out to Fulham. Yeah, shout out to Fulham, because Liverpool had to come back twice in that match to equalize. You know, Fulham went up 1-0, Liverpool equalizes. Then Fulham goes up 2-1. You know, and this was at Anfield. You know, so for Fulham to go away hostile territory to the league leaders and go put in 90-minute shift like that, we gotta, you know, kudos. We've talked about Fulham. You know, they're right in that range in between 4th and 10th right now. And they've been playing very well all season. They've been very consistent. Marco Silva has that team very, very consistent. So just want to say shout out to them. But Liverpool, man, we're starting to see some chinks in the armor. Obviously, 2 games out of 6 points, they've only managed to get 2. Other teams, i.e. Chelsea, are creeping up on the table. What do we think about Liverpool right now? And has Slot been figured out? Slot ball.
This is the start. This is the start of the slip up. New York, they're gonna start slipping up.
I would say this. I wouldn't say it's necessarily he's been found out per se. I would definitely say like he's had a like rough stretch of like games in a sense. You know, he's had Champions League games. He's had, you know, regular season games that have been hard. And you know, the players, honestly, you know, there's a little bit of burnout that I think happens a little bit, you know, with a team like that, with the new manager. And then some of the players also, too, with their contract situations. You know, you have Mo Salah, you know, still up in the air. You know, Trent.
I thought did he not sign?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, I thought I saw something that said, and then they got an extension done or something, but maybe not.
Every week, you know, Trent, you're hearing rumors of Trent going to Real Madrid, you know. So, you know, that can kind of, you know, weigh on a manager of a team. But I think his hybrid high line ball that he's playing with that pressing in small spots, he's a little bit of Klopp there at times, but with his own identity in the team, I still feel like, you know, as you get to this part, when you start playing a game every, like, 3 days, it can start to wear in the team. So I think you're seeing a little bit of that right now. But as far as like his coaching philosophy, if you look at how they set up and how they play, they're a tough team to beat, you know, and they create a lot of chances, and, you know, their press and counter press is really, really good. I'm very impressed by, you know, a manager can come in just like 6 months, have a team play like that. So we'll see ultimately what happens. You know, like I said, this is the Prem, you know, anybody can get got in any day of the week. So, you know, with a game in hand, you know, they may feel a certain level of comfort, but, you know, as soon as the lights get bright and, you know, that game in hand goes away and they're now 1 point, you know, above the rest, that's when we'll see what slot ball is really like.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's gotten found out. I think, like Kerry said, I think he's the top manager. I think he's probably the third best manager in the Premier League behind Pep and Unai Emery. But I mean, like Kerry said, Kerry brought up later at the contract situations. I feel like, you know, this team is in an interesting position because obviously they've been in, you know, first place for, you know, the longest so far this season. But I don't know, man. Hopefully, like, when things start to, I would say, probably not go so maybe as well as they have been going, I don't know. You got a lot of question marks surrounding this team. So, you know what I'm saying? I feel like everything, you know, matters and influences the game. So this will be a team to watch, man. I believe this is going to be the start of their slip up, especially, you know, they're losing what? Robertson is out for, what, 3 games now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, 3.
Dumb foul.
Yeah, bro. Every player counts, man, especially in December, man. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Robertson out for those 3 games after the red card. It'll be interesting. Yeah, it's definitely going to. Do we know what Liverpool's next three matches are? Let's check.
I can check. Yeah.
So they see.
They play Southampton
in the Carabao. But Tottenham. Then they see Tottenham this next weekend.
Leicester,
and then West Ham. So he'll be back for the United game. But we'll see how they fare against Tottenham. We know Leicester and West Ham, they're having their issues right now. But that Spurs game is going to be very, very important. It's going to be for all parties involved, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man. Just wanted to look at Liverpool just because they are starting to get worn down. I would say that's probably a better way of putting it right now with these run of games that they have. But let's hop into our teams, man. So no one lost today, but not everyone did get the 3 points this past weekend. So obviously let's go ahead and jump into the Arsenal game. Played Everton 0-0 at the at the Emirates. I was watching the game with Gabriel. It just, I don't know, bro. It just looked very uninspiring, to be honest. First half was kind of boring. Second half, they started to pick it up a little bit, but Saka didn't really get off like we've seen him get off. He started, you know, to show sparks, but it was a little too late for me. Odegaard got subbed off after 60 minutes. He wasn't great. But yeah, as far as this Arsenal team, right now, we've seen them kind of go through their ups and downs so far through the season. But what do we think it is right now? Because they're not winning these games. They're not necessarily losing a lot of games, but they're not winning games. Like I told Gabriel, in a week where Liverpool drops points, City, you know, drops points, this is where Arsenal really could have taken a big step, you know, in the table. Obviously, they still would have been behind Chelsea because of points and goal differential. But now you're starting to see that separation of 1, 2, and 3. Whereas, you know, we were just sitting on the same amount of points as Arsenal last week. So, I mean, Arteta obviously knows the position he's in, having been that the last 2 years it's been City versus Arsenal. But Gabriel, just your overall thought, not necessarily on the match, but kind of where Arsenal is on the table right now and how you guys have been playing as of late.
We've been playing like a dead club recently. We've been playing everything's extremely lethargic, it's very slow. Nothing's upbeat, nothing's at pace. Everything looks like it's 80%, 75%. This first half of this match was extremely boring. I honestly wanted to go to sleep. The second half was a little bit better. We had a little bit more pep in our step, but still, we still didn't get the job done. I honestly don't know what to say, if I'm being completely honest. We look very, 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 very shaky. We look very, very unsure. And our manager isn't doing us any favors right now. I think that the subs that came in need to come in, but overall, as a group, we don't look good. And like you already said, on these weeks, we need to capitalize on other teams dropping points. Chelsea, of course, we need to keep at pace with them because they've been on a little bit of a roll. And here we are again. I mean, drawing at home to Everton. For me, it's just this should be a must-win game. It comes down to the point where it's like, I'm not even worried about the big six anymore. Honestly, like the big six, whatever. When we play them, I know we'll be fine. But when it comes to Bournemouth away, Fulham at home, Fulham away, Everton at home, Everton away, that's when I feel like, oh, we might have an issue. And that's the issue, because we should be taking care of these smaller teams immediately. We should, but we don't. So, you know, I don't know. This Premier League is looking weird right now. No, we're looking good in Champions League, but you know, it's looking weird right now.
Yeah, man. I think for Everton to get a draw here. I mean, it's big for Everton and where they're at. But yeah, man, it's concerning. I mean, the draw with Fulham, the draw here. I mean, this is kind of, for me, I'm starting to see shades of, you know, what we've seen before. I don't know, man. It's just like, it's crazy how fast everything goes. Because a few weeks ago, they had that big win. Who did y'all play a few games ago?
3-0?
Monaco?
No, that was a Monaco.
It was in the Premier League,
I thought. Oh, you're talking about Prem? I don't remember who they played.
They won in the Prem, and then, like, I don't know, we think, like, oh, like, you know.
Oh, West Ham.
It was West Ham. Yeah.
It was West Ham. So, like, yeah, it was like, okay, they're back. You know, like, they still got all the same guys, essentially. But, yeah, man, I really think, I mean, Odegaard obviously got hooked at the 60th minute.
And he needed to. He needed to. He was playing like trash. He was playing like absolute trash. And it's my captain, bro. Like, this team. There's very few players on this team that consistently do what they need to do. Very few. Saka is obviously one of them. I never have to worry about him. He was one of the few players that was actually making things happen today. Honestly, at this point, I never really have to worry about David Raya. I'm not really worried about what he's doing too much, if I'm being completely honest. Saliba, he's usually fine. Everyone else. And Odegaard, he's usually fine too, but as of recent, him and everyone else have just been off of it. Just been off of it. No goals, no assists, nothing. Nothing. It's all coming from one guy. Bro. It's all coming from one guy. That's our issue right now. And Arteta needs to figure it out. He needs to figure it out.
I just want to say, I think though too, that's from the media standpoint, one thing. I mean, we all know why, but it's just like, I just think that it's crazy, though, that, like, and not saying that he's not a good player, not saying that he doesn't deserve credit, but it's just like, I don't know, when you guys are doing well, it's like they're always panning to Odegaard, the camera to Odegaard. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when y'all lose it and stuff, it's just kind of like you see him post and it's like Sokka's on there. It's like, damn, bro. This guy's literally the only reason why you're even in, you know, during this, I don't know, especially this season. I feel like he's really like, carried y'all.
Man, Odegaard was injured, getting us through. So it's like, you know, it's only so much one can do. You know what I mean? You can only do so much with 22 guys.
Yeah, man, I was going to say, I just wanted to see the brothers shine, man. I want to see that. Lewis Scaly, I want to see him do well. I thought he did okay.
He did amazing. Yeah. He did amazing. I thought he did well. Like I said, bro, him and Nwaneri can play, man. Both of them 100%. Can play. Yeah. They can play in the Prem. I've seen it. And he needs to let these guys step up, because some of these guys want their spot to be taken. I'm not even gonna go on names today. Catch me week like 20-25. Then I'll start speaking names. But some of these guys don't want to play. Some of these guys really don't want to play for Arsenal Football Club. They don't understand what it means. That's how I feel right now. Maybe they got comfortable. Maybe people got comfortable because I don't like what I see.
Do you think is the pressure getting to some of these players? Because you have to think, last season, you guys were supposed to win it, right? You were in the driver's seat for a long time. And then coming into this season, all the talk was, hey, this is your guy's year based upon your last season's performance. Then Odegaard goes down with an injury. Saka literally puts the team on his back. Odegaard comes back. And then you guys are kind of like in a funk. Because if I look at your guys' next like 8 games, I mean, you guys don't have an easy, you probably have like a tough run. I mean, you play Palace twice, Ipswich, even though they're at the bottom of the league, we know that's a tough team to play. They've proven that they're hard to play against. Then you go to Brentford, you have Brighton, and then you see us. All of that before like January 12th. So you got like a tough like stretch going on, and you can't seem to like break teams down anymore. I don't know what it is. Rice looks like, I don't know. I've never been a fan of him.
Mati.
You know what I mean? I've never been a fan of that guy. You know what I mean? But he looks real ordinary. You know, y'all should have got Jalof Rice. That's what I said, instead of Declan. that Rice ain't got no seasoning in it. You know, it's just sideways passing, and you know, maybe one or two forward passes. Odegaard, he looks like uninspired. I think that's the word I'll have to use to describe him right now. It's like he has the ability, but he's missing like that it factor right now to get you guys over the hump. So I think you guys are one Saka injury away from really being in trouble. But going back to my original question, do you think it's like the pressure of like having to do something this season is like getting to the players and also your manager?
I mean, if you won something the year before, then there wouldn't be all this pressure. If you won something the year before that, then there wouldn't be all this pressure. I don't care if it's pressure. I honestly, I don't care if it is or isn't. You know what I mean? Do I think it has something to do with it? Probably. Because you have to win something. We've been waiting years, you know what I mean? So, you know, you have an obligation. You have an obligation. Fulfill the obligation. Complete the task. And you say you want to play at the top club. This is a top club. This is a top level. This is one of the biggest and the best. We have standards. We have expectations every season. This is where you want to play. This is where you want to be. There's going to be these expectations every season. So either handle the pressure or not. If you're not going to handle it, then we need to go find someone who can handle the pressure. You can go play somewhere else where maybe the pressure isn't as high.
No, I agree, because I agree 100%. Yeah, there's definitely pressure, obviously. You know, there's no way there isn't pressure, especially after the last 2 years. But it's all self-imposed, kind of like what Gabriel said. if they win something in the last 2 years, whether it be a Carabao or an FA Cup, there's less pressure because we've seen what Arsenal has done in these last 2-3 years. So it's not like, you know, we know how good they are. But this is the same thing people were saying about Klopp's team. You know, Klopp didn't win the Prem, you know, and he won once in his tenure at Liverpool, and people are calling it the Pep versus Klopp era. But 20 years from now, the history book's going to show that City ran the whole 2010s and the whole, you know, the first half of the 2020s. So it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. You know, this pressure, whether it be external or internal, it comes with playing sports when you're all trying to achieve, you know, one of a few trophies. So, yeah, I agree. There's definitely pressure, and I know they're feeling it because it's internal. The players feel it themselves. You know, sometimes you can kind of tell, like, when there's that internal pressure because the players kind of it seems like they're carrying that extra baggage on them. And I feel like right now it's getting real for a lot of them. You know, you look at Martinelli, you look at some of these players that have been there through the entire run, and now they're like, oh, like, yeah, we need to win something. It's been a while. Like, all the fun and games is over. You know, they were that young, bustling team that no one expected to be here. But now they've done it for 2 years in a row, so we kind of expect something now. So that's just kind of my take on it. I feel like it's more internal than anything.
I mean, yeah, Mike was saying last week that, you know, this is like kind of like a, what do they call it? You know, the situations in sports where, you know, a coach gets you so far and then, you know, it's like getting ready for the next guy. But I don't know. Not that I wish, you know, anybody to lose their job, but I don't know, man. This is a big year for Arteta.
I just, mm-hmm. you know, I mean,
it's a big year for him.
If he doesn't win something, he's going to have an issue. People are going to start looking at you sideways and being like, bro, we gave you everything that you wanted. We gave you the money. We gave you the players. We gave you this. We gave you that. New facilities, blah, blah, blah.
And the ownership picked him. Decided with him over you.
Yeah. What else more do you need? You wanted your 100 million man? We got that. Wanted your defender? We got that. Wanted this? We got that. What else do you need?
I agree. Yeah.
You know, this is what happens when you try to make common sense, when you try to complicate common sense. We knew we needed a striker, but we're trying to like wiggle around that. Like, why not just face the problem head on? Just go get a striker, bro. I don't care what you promise someone. The times have changed. You're not up with the standard. Oh, I told him he. So what? He's not with the standard. He's not keeping up. Go get someone who can. So, no, we need to go be active in January. I think. I'll say that right now. We need to go be active in January. If we can get something done, we need to get something done. Because if we don't, we can kiss the league goodbye. Very soon.
Yeah, so. I mean, but what do you get in January then?
I think we have to at least get a winger. Even if we're looking at a 9, we might have to go get a winger. Because Martinelli, Trossard, they're not cutting it. They're not cutting it. We need another attacker. We need another spark. Because if Saka's always going to do his thing. But if Odegaard's not doing anything, I can't trust whoever's on the left side. Kai Havertz not going to do anything if Saka or Odegaard's not doing anything or another wing is doing anything. So, yeah, no. I need a proper wing to come in January and start producing instantly because, yeah, man, it's not good. It's looking very, very bad. But. Yeah, not to ponder.
Yeah, man. It's still early. And just like Kerry said, you know, this is a very, very, very tight race for the league. So I know it seems like it's all doom and gloom right now, but 3 quick wins, 4 quick wins can change, you know, the entire landscape of the team. So honestly, you guys aren't out of it. You know, Liverpool's dropping points, you know, so it's not to say that it's over, but y'all got to get y'all head on straight, because you need to get three, honestly. Every week you need to get 3 points if you want to stay top four at least. But moving on from Arsenal, man, we got Carry On. Obviously, that means United won. Otherwise, he'd be silent, like our Manchester City friends who don't seem to want to come on the pod anymore. Solo, I'm talking to you. Zion, I'm talking to you. Yeah, man, 2-1. We were talking about this game a little bit before we started recording, and you know, I was joking with y'all. I say, oh, of course, Carry comes on when they get their 2-1 win. How shameless. But, you know, this was one of those wins where I think it's less about United and more about City and how they kind of just broke down. Obviously, the penalty was what it was. And I'm gonna say my piece because, you know, we have two United guys on, so I'll let them speak about the game itself. But that goal, that penalty goal from Bruno, I'm still watching you, bro. Because Bruno, as a captain, you got to be better. They probably won't say it, but I have no allegiances to United, so I don't care, bro. Bruno, you have to be better. You guys are lucky you escaped with that win, because just, you know, Bruno had some stinkers, man. He has some chances where you looking at him like, God, you got to put those away. And had the game gone differently, you know, had the last 5 minutes not been the last 5 minutes, you guys don't get that 3 points. We're looking at a very, very different conversation today. And I'm not going to say anything about the manager because he just got in there. But, you know, even he looks at the team sometimes and his facial expressions can say it all. I mean, a few games ago, it seemed every time they were panning to him, he was shaking his head. So there's obviously a lot that has to change with this United team, you know, but I'm looking at Bruno, man. He has to play better. And I think if he starts to play more consistently, we start to see a better United team. But kudos to you guys. You got 3 points. That's what matters. You're still below 10th place. So, you know, you guys got some work to do. But how do you feel about this United team so far, and then Amarin since he's been here?
I guess I'll go. I would say big win. Anytime you can beat those noisy neighbors of ours, it's a great day. It's a great day in the neighborhood. I do agree with you to a certain point. Like, this was a very interesting game. You can tell that from the beginning, leaving out Rashford and Garnacho was a big call by the manager. First of all, not even having them on the team sheet was a big call. So,
one, so let's talk about that for those who might not know, because we were talking about that a little bit before the match.
Yeah, so they're allegedly Rashford and Garnacho have been associated with leaks, you know, time over time, more or less Garnacho this time. And the manager, if you can tell from this pre-game interview, you know, he was very calculated with his choice of words. You know, he said, like, I watch everything, the way you dress, the way you eat, and everything like that. So I'm like, you know, it clearly was sending a message to the team and the entire world that, hey, I know what I know, and you know what I know also, too. You know, so I respect it, you know, because if it was a old regime, you know, we'd get a lot of spin, you know, it would have been belly aches or something to do in training, you know, so I respect them coming out like that. And also to make a big call like that also, too. If you look at the lineup that he picked, you can clearly see that he learned something from when he played City last time with his Sporting Lisbon team. Because if you look at how that team was set up, it was definitely set up to exploit City in certain spaces and to be, you know, clinical when they got the ball in those spaces. Moving Ahmad to the 10, man, was brilliant. I've been, under the last regime, I've been screaming free Ahmad, you know. Certified baller, needs to be higher up the field, closer to the goal so he can make an impact. So I definitely agree with the lineup that he had today. I felt like his changes were really good. To give show some respect to City, I felt like the lineup that they came to, like, really dominate and play initially. And like, they dominated possession in certain parts of the field. They moved the ball pretty well. But I would definitely say we exposed Haaland once again. You know, he's a passenger until he's in the penalty spot, until he's in the 18-yard box. So we showed we were able to play with 11 guys while they were playing with 10 until they got further up the pitch. To touch on City's goal, I feel like that was a really good goal that they scored. It was really good work in terms of the corner. We have a big problem with giving goals on set pieces, especially corners. This is the second week in a row, almost the same exact thing. At least Dallow tried to jump this time. Last week it was Martinez who didn't even get off the ground. But we need to work on our set pieces. But unlike old United, this version of United, we showed some fight after the goal. The old United would have, you know, tucked their tail in between their legs and said, hey, that was it. I do agree with you, Bruno, from a captain standpoint. He has to show me more. He's always been a fraud watch for me as a person. I feel like for someone who plays in the midfield, he gives the ball away too much. He just spams the ball into space at times. And then he just, when he gets in front of the goal, like he just takes shots in places where I think he can kind of like work the ball and keep possession in that final third. So maybe his days might be numbered under this new manager. I don't know. We'll potentially see how that goes. But he is our captain. So he is probably going to get some time, you know, to kind of figure it out per se. I would say Ahmad in that second half, man, that touch in the box, man, to get that penalty was just so sick, you know, like he just stopped on a dime and was like, all right, just kick my leg, man. I'll take this.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Bruno didn't have a good game, I mean, he scored a penalty, which, you know, I give him a lot of respect for that because, you know, that can kind of like deter your confidence if you're not having a good game and have to step up in a big moment like that. But that second goal from Ahmad, man, that first touch he took just had the goalie like just scrambling. The finish, even though he didn't make good contact, I watched it in slow motion the second time. His eye was on the ball the entire time. So even though he didn't make good contact, you know, the technique and everything was there. So that was a big goal, and a big game, big moment from a guy who, you know, who's been out of the team, got player of the month. Then they took him out of the team. Then he came back in, asked to play wing back. You know, even though that in his primary position, he excelled at that position. We asked him to play in the 10. He comes in and excels in that position. Now we, against our rival, come in and score a big goal and also get the penalty. I mean, I'm really happy. And to just touch on our manager, I like the things he's doing because he's trying to figure players out in real time. If you look at his substitutions that he's making, he always substitutes the back line. He always makes a substitute in the midfield, and he gets a substitute in the attacking third of the field. So he's also understanding and learning on the job in real time. And, you know, sometimes it'll pay dividends like today it did. And then other times, like, it doesn't, you know, because, like, once again, he's still learning the league and everything like that. I think once he gets the profile of players that he really wants, I think we'll be a really dangerous team because we're actually able to play football. We're actually able to move the ball out of the back. We're actually able to move the ball in midfield. We're possessing the ball more in some good spaces. So it was a good win. City is a good team. I know they're struggling right now, but anytime you can beat Pep, and especially at home, and when they dropped that big banner of his face down there, you know, you know, it was a really good win for us, and I'm happy about it. And to those watching, football heritage is a thing, you know what I mean? It definitely is a thing, you know? So, good win, United. Shout out to Ahmad. That's my next jersey I'm getting.
Yeah, man, he had a great moment. He always just seems to just manufacture chances by himself. It comes from nothing. You know, usually it comes from pressing. It comes from, you know, defensively. I remember vividly, I forgot who we played, but I remember he was in our half of the field, defensively won the ball, and then, you know, ran all the way down, either scored or assisted. But, no, he's been brilliant, man. And the fact that Ten Hag is obviously – the fact that Ten Hag wasn't playing him was crazy. Because he's showing what he can do, and he's doing it consistently as well too. Every time he gets on the ball, he makes you believe that he's going to make something happen. So, yeah, man, I really hope he can continue the form that he's on. I'm watching how he won the penalty now. Nunez, man, you had a you just had a tough moment, man. For you to make that pass the way he did, and then for you to concede the penalty, that's a tough moment. Bro, for him.
But it just look, it looks so crazy, like when you look at it.
It did,
because the foul is bad. Like Kerry said, though, bro, that's just smart on Ahmad. You know the defender's running full speed. All you got to do is slow your momentum up a little bit, and he crashes into you. That's a foul every time. And if you really look at it, Ahmad, like, peeps it, because right before he gets run into, he's on the outside. He's on the edge of the box, and he takes just one, two quick little steps, and now he's in the box, and he gets run into it. I'm just like,
yeah,
bro, I don't know what Ten Hag was looking at, but clearly he missed the ball on this kid, because he's played this year, and every match he looks dangerous. Every match he looks like he's going to score. He's so
threatening. Our best player of the season.
But he's so calm on the ball. You know, you never really see frustration. Doesn't look like he's ever, you know, in a tight spot. The kid could play, man. So it's, if anything, Amorim starting Ahmad shows that he already has, you know, he already has the right mindset to get a United back, for me at least.
No, you're right, CPN. The fact that, you know, the manager trusts him, I think, is a big deal as well, too, because I don't know, like, you know, he could really, you know, signal like the start of this new era. You know, when I think about guys, I mean, we haven't talked about it, but like, I do want to take a moment and just say it was really tough. Like, it was just really tough to see Mason Mount go down, because I know that he's, you know, worked really hard to get back. So for him to go down early in the first half, obviously, was just, I mean, terrible. I just felt like doesn't matter what team you support, when you see stuff like that, it's just sad. So hopefully he can come back in, you know.
Especially due to non-contact.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, you know, it's tough, man. But hopefully he can come back and, you know, contribute to the team, because I think that he could be a big part of this team, definitely. But no, man, I mean, it's great. I mean, Kobe came on. I thought Kobe did well. I would love to see Kobe a little bit closer to goal, because, like Ahmad, I believe that he's, you know, probably him and Ahmad are our creative players. That's really where I see, you know, creativity coming from. So I would love to see them, you know, behind the nine. Like you said, Kerry, I think, you know, Ahmad did a role at right wing back, but I think, you know, closer to goal again in that 10 role was perfect for him. He presses well. He holds the ball well. There's a few times, I think, even in the first half, he had an opportunity and it went off target. Like, but, you know, we created chances, man. I mean, I was looking at the stats, 52 to 48 possession. You know, this is one of the first times in a while where I went into the Manchester Derby and I was like, I don't really feel like, oh, we're going to get battered today. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been a while.
Yeah, I thought it was 50-50 myself.
Yeah. I mean, the FA Cup final, I thought, like, that's 50-50. That's a cup. That's one game. So I was like, you know, I feel more confident here than, you know, a Premier League game where, you know, consistency matters. But, no, man, I mean, it's a good day. It's definitely a good day if you're a United fan. Hopefully this can, you know, signal the start of – you know, this new era under the new manager. But nah, man, I mean, I think we had no business winning that game. But I mean, I can't even say that because it's just like Ahmad, bro. Like, you scored the winner and created the foul for the first one. Again, like, the touch on both goals was just crazy, man. I can't speak enough about him. But yeah, man, give him a new contract. And lastly, I think you mentioned it earlier, Kerry. I'm not really too familiar on. I just saw that Rashford and Garnacho weren't in the team. I didn't really understand why they would just. But I think it's also, it just shows like this is a big move by the manager for them not to be even in the squad. I mean, there was a point where, and this is crazy, there was a point in the second half we were 1-0 down. I was like, shit, man, like, who's gonna come on and like bring a spark? You know, you say what you want about Rashford, say what you want about Garnacho, but those two are like, you know, that's kind of like, you know, two sparks that, you know, we're accustomed to seeing. But for him to drop them two and for us to, you know, get the win is really good for the squad. Because I feel like the squad now can really buy into the manager and hopefully, you know, move forward.
So I agree. One other thing I'll touch on is I know the fans like to get onto Xerxes.
Yeah. And it's all good, man. Let them have it, bro.
They don't like him. But in a sense, Xerxes, I'm telling you, man, going forward, he's going to be a key player for us because he's one of the only players, like, in terms of, like, our nines that actually can hold up the ball, possess, make a pass. And the thing about it is the way he reads the game, it's very, very crucial to the style of play that we have, especially if Ahmad is going to play, right? Especially if Ahmad is going to play higher up the pitch. Because when Rashford or Garnacho is in one of those 10 spots, we lack link play. You know, the only thing we can do with them is they play the ball into someone in the middle and try to run in behind. So we lose that when we're in the final third and the game gets condensed to move the ball left or right or someone to, like, get into what I call that brave space in between two players, you know, and actually have the ability to turn onto the ball or to make a pass. Like Garnacho, like, you know, when he gets into that spot, he's not going to use his left foot. He might try an outside of the foot pass or something. You know, when Rashford gets in there, you know, it's head down and he's going to run as fast as he can, or he's going to kick the ball as hard as he can on goal. I mean, he has not developed a finesse shot in his game since I've seen Rashford play. Everything is a hard knuckleball or a driven shot. So I think with Xerxes, it's just something a little different that we see in a striker. I've been critical of Højlund in the past, but Højlund he's learning. And I would say the reason why he looks a little better because he actually has players that are playing the ball to his feet now versus everything is in the air with his back to the goal. Like I say, and I always call him, you know, he's at Carnival, you know, backing it up, you know, like whatnot. You know, that was his game, you know, trying to wrestle with someone versus, you know, getting the ball to his feet and actually getting into the game. And he's getting the ball into some better spots. Like, once again, I'm really impressed with, like, just our structure that the manager has brought. I mean, we can lose games, but we have you know, some form of structure currently. So, yeah, going forward, I'm excited to see what happens. I hope we can get some reinforcements in this January window. And like I said, big message by leaving those two guys out and getting the win away from home. So we'll definitely see what happens going forward, but big win. We still have a long way to go. We're still 13th in the table. You know, we're still, you know, 6 points off of top four. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do. So it's still game by game. And I do expect us to drop some points here and there while they're learning this new system and style, but I'm taking today's win. Holding my head high. Glory, glory, Man United. And yeah, Solo, Zion.
Yeah, we'll see. Shameless.
Shameless.
I'm going to say it here. Put the word out, Kerry.
I'm not saying we're back. I'm not going to say that. I will not say that. All I'm saying, we're pending.
This shit processed. This shit processed today. We are back. B-I-K.
I love y'all United fans because y'all are so reactionary, bro. I can't wait till next week. It'll be a whole nother thing next week. And then the week after, it'll be a whole nother thing. Y'all so reactionary, bro.
You are
one game in your bag. You went from 13th to a whole 13th place. Like these 3 points, I know they're good for moral support, but you know, looking on the table, y'all got a long way to climb before anybody's back.
Do you know how many points separate us?
Before anybody's back, you got a long way to climb, Salam.
Do you know how many points separate us?
Yeah, I'm looking at the table right now.
Do you know how many points separate us in sixth place right now?
It's cute.
3 points.
So you and the kids working on basic arithmetic. I'm glad you can add and subtract. But all I'm saying is, right now, nobody's worried about y'all. And before we move over to Chelsea, I wanted to say this too, as far as
as far as like the state of the league right now, nobody's afraid of anybody, bro. Like if you look at this, like Fulham, they're going at teams. Like all these teams that are stuck in between, you know, top four and 10th place right now or 15th place right now, they're all going at everybody. So this league is not like, oh, okay, you know, a few years ago, everybody was scared of Arsenal. Or, oh, okay, we had to run into City a few years ago. Everybody was scared of Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne. Bro, no one is scared of teams anymore. You know, there's a lot, there's been so much movement. There's so much parity in the league right now that anybody can get got, like Kerry says. So, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot that has to happen for you guys to feel comfortable. But I can see why you feel better with Emerim at the helm.
I would say, I think you're right. I think that there's no, like, especially this season with City, you know, kind of being where they are. I really wouldn't say there's any team that, like, really, like, scares you per se. But, I mean, I would say, like, but there are teams that, like, right now, I think the only team, well, yeah, I think the only team in the league where I'm like, damn, I do not want to play them right now is you guys.
Yeah, it's probably Chelsea, I would agree. You're the most dangerous team.
Because you guys will, I know that you guys will score. It's just a matter of, you know, and I know we'll score on you because you've shown that. But it's you know, the volume of goals that you guys are scoring at and where you guys are getting from, it's crazy. And I said this, like, you guys have the depth to, like, you know, really do some damage this month. But the only team in the league where I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm really not trying to see them is you guys.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, speaking of teams that are back,
but you're not
put the word team. Out.
Put the word out, Salam. Put the word out. That's it. That's all I'm gonna say. Just put the word out.
Are you ready to say y'all in the title race?
Enzo and the Maresca boys. Just put the word out. That's sounds all like, I'm gonna save today. Just put the word out. That's
all like you ducking the fade. I mean,
yeah. we'll be back come Boxing Day, but right now just put the word out. That's all I'm gonna say. But as far as Chelsea, man, today another beautiful display of what a team can do when they put their heads together and just decide, you know, we're gonna fight for each other. We're gonna fight for each other today. Honestly, Brentford. I said this last week. I said it would probably be like 2-1. Because we were going to get scored on, and this is the Chelsea team that we've come to know and love this year. We can't close out halves, man. We can't close out halves, whether it's first half or second half. We have issues closing out. And the big thing for me is it's cool now, you know, like we're still getting these 3 points, but as we get closer to the end of the year where legs are more tired, luckily, we don't have an injury problem, and luckily, we have numbers. But for me right now, it's just trying to clean up the things that we aren't doing well, which for me, I've been saying this week after week, the last 5 minutes of halves, we are so bad. We're so, so bad. And even in a game like today where it was never – I never really felt comfortable. You know, we had the early lead. Shout out to Cucurella. But – the whole first half still felt a little cagey. Even second half, Brentford had few chances to score. And the whole time I'm like, look, we're only up 1-0. We just saw what happened to United earlier today or to City earlier today. And we're playing around with it in the back. The last 20 minutes were very, very frustrating because right around like the 60, 65 minute mark, Brentford really started to get up for it. Really started to get up for it, and we were playing very sloppy. And honestly, if it wasn't for that goal from Nico Jackson, I don't know if we escaped there with 3 points, because the way, you know, the goal came at the like the exact time that they started to pick it up. So for me, I'm just happy that one, we were able to get the 3 points and move. We've been saying this. Brentford is one of those teams that's tricky. And Mbeumo and Wissa have been going off all year. And honestly, I think taking Wissa off early was a bad call on Thomas Frank, because it was right when they started to get a little bit more confidence, when they started to attack, when they had more possession on, you know, in our defensive third. But for me, it just, you know, winners win, you know. And for Nico Jackson, for the year he's having, I just read a stat that since the beginning of 2024, he has more non-penalty goals. He has the most non-penalty goals in the Premier League. sitting at 23. Mm-hmm. Second place is Mo Salah at 22. So I mean, that just goes to show where he is. You know, I'm not the stat guy. Y'all know that Mike is more so the stat guy, but when we're looking at numbers and just what he's been able to do just on a sheer scoring platform, this is what we wanted when we bought him. You know, this is the guy, bro. This is the guy. This is our guy. And it's unfortunate for Nkuku, but when you have Nico Jackson playing the way he's playing, even though he had, you know, a little bit of a goal slump these last few matches, it's just so nice and refreshing to see that we don't have to rely on Cole Palmer to score 30 goals this year. We can just have him play and just be effective in that 10 role. And even today, Cole didn't have the best game, but when you have Nani Madueke, again, adding another assist, when you have Nico Jackson fighting, playing essentially box to box because we had to defend today, when you're seeing the little things that the team is doing in order to get the points, it's like I said last week, bro, we're finding that Chelsea DNA. Maresca is building that Chelsea DNA week by week by week by week. And yeah, defensively, we already know we're kind of weak. But at the end of the day, you have to score goals to win. So for me, being able to score, I'll take being a little shaky in the back right now, because the biggest issue over the last 3 years were we couldn't score goals. And then we also were leaking goals. So now that we fix one issue, I'm sure Maresca will figure out, you know, over the next few windows, who to put where, what best back four we have, whether it's a back three, because, you know, we like to invert once we have the ball. So he's figuring it out, just like how Amorim's learning in real time. I think Maresca week by week by week is showing you that, okay, I'm learning new things. I think this works here. I think this doesn't work here. So for me, I just like the fact that Chelsea is building back that DNA that we all know and love. And like I said, Liverpool. Hey, Liverpool. Y'all keep slipping up, all right? Because we're right here. We're knocking. We're knocking, bro. And I know everyone wants to say that we're in a title race.
That's a title race conversation.
Everyone wants to ask if we're in a title race. We are in a title
race. Are you knocking on the door?
Yeah.
No, we are in a title race, bro. Like, it, whether we want to admit it, whether we as fans want to admit it or not, we are in a title race. It is what it is. It is what it is. And I know Maresca is trying to play coy and saying, don't ask me until 25 and this, that, and the third. And he should. As the manager, you have to protect the team. You have to protect these players. A lot of them are young. None of these guys have ever been in a title race besides Cole Palmer. And even then, he wasn't playing for City. So for me, this is where you have to start managing, not just coaching. This is where you actually have to start managing players' expectations, managing fans' expectations, managing the club's expectations, because obviously this is new ownership, and they've never been in this situation either. So for me, Maresca has a very, very important job of just managing expectations. I feel like right now, through the next couple of months, that's going to be his hardest job. Because obviously everyone's saying Chelsea's in a title race. And whether or not they want to hear it, they have to. You know, the media is saying it, fans are saying it, other people's fans are saying it. And so the eyes are on us. You know, last couple of years it was on Arsenal. Now the eyes are on Chelsea. And that's just how the Premier League moves. So right now, yeah, we're in a title race. I'll say it. We are 1,000% in a title race. But what Maresca has to do is just manage expectations, because it's going to be a very, very tough second half of the season. Everyone's gunning for us now. Everyone knows that we're in a title race, so everyone wants to knock us off. It is what it is. So for me, yes, I feel comfortable saying it. We're in a title race. I just want expectations to be managed, because, like I said, we lose, we go on a little slump, we can drop from second place to fifth to 10th all within a month. So it really is one of those things where you just got to be careful and make sure that we're just taking care of business at home. And when we go away, manage, you can't drop any points. You can't. So for me, yeah, we just had a race. I'll say it, but I just want everyone to understand. I'm saying this because the points are where the points are, and the table shake down how it shake down. But do I believe that we're ready to go and fight week as a title race? I don't think we're there yet, but we're in the title race. So congrats. Y'all got it out of me.
Yeah, I would say I watched this game today. Like I said, I watch my team, and I always pick one other Premier team to watch. I pick Chelsea because, you know, of Sancho. I would definitely say this game was a very interesting one. Like you said, Brentford is a dangerous team. We all know that. Like, you know, you can't give them a sliver of a chance because they will punish you. You know, their strikers and Mbeumo and Wissa are very clinical. But you guys had like 30 shots today and scored 2 goals. You know, I don't know how many shots you had on target, you know, compared to how many shots you actually took. But I remember just watching that game, and I'm not a Chelsea fan, but I was frustrated just watching it, you know, in a sense of like, you guys get all the way down the field, move the ball left to right, and then you settle for a really bad shot, or you're just really wasteful with the opportunities that you get. I saw Sancho dribble down the line, take a man on, squared it for Jackson, wide open net, and he just shanked it with his left foot. Like he was just not prepared for the ball coming to him.
And he watched it the entire time. He's on the six looking at the ball, and I'm like, bro.
You know?
And it's right before he scored. It was maybe like 2-3 minutes before he scored his goal. And I'm like, sorry to cut you off, but we're not clinical yet. You know, it's taking us 7-8 times to just get a goal. And then you look on the flip side, and Mbeumo is scoring from damn near half. And you're just like, bro, he gets one chance and he's making tidying up. Yeah, let's finish. Oh, we only got a few minutes left. Yeah, let's get the ball. Let's go back. And that's what's frustrating to me about this Chelsea team is it takes us 7-8 times sometimes chances to get a good attempt on net. And then once we do get a good attempt on net, it takes us another 5, 6, 7. We need to be a little bit more clinical because obviously we have a lot of the ball. We're demanding a lot of possession. And so with this, we need to actually get a little bit more on the business end of side. We need to tidy things up. So yeah, you know, it's frustrating when you see stuff like that and you hope that that can clean up. But, you know, I don't know. That's why I'm not totally ready to say we're there to fight for a title race yet, because there's just a lot of the things we need to clean up. But, you know, 3 points is 3 points. So I'll take it.
Yeah, I think that comes with one, youth. I think it comes with inconsistency in terms of the lineup being changed a lot. You know, everyone's fighting for their spot, so they're trying to prove their worth a little bit. And then the other thing is ignorance comes with a little bit of youth in the game. Like, I think you guys just always think you're going to create chances. And there's going to come a point in time where that will not be the truth. You know, because you're going to get figured out at some point, you know, in terms of like watching patterns and watching different players play. But because you have, 8 different attacking combinations, you could always just throw any given week. It becomes hard for opposing teams to prepare for you. They can kind of predict based upon, okay, well, you have Conference League this week and then this and this, so these particular players may play. But yeah, you guys have to be a little more clinical, because I look at Jackson's goal that he scored versus the one he missed, and I'm like, the one he scored is harder. You know, he went near post on the side of the goalkeeper, and he kicked it outside of the boot for the most part, you know, and the margin of error was so small for that, you know, in terms of what he scored versus, you know, hey, just getting your knee over the ball and just passing it into the net. He could have took a touch with the ball, Sancho, squared off to him. I think he's coming into his own, and I didn't realize he was that young either. I mean, I thought he was like 25. He's like 20 years old.
Bro, he's gonna be the best watch.
He's African 20, so he might be 25.
Once again, I'm going by what they put on that man's age. I've never seen that man's birth certificate.
I'm only 20. You know, they say he's 20. He's 20.
Yeah, and then also too, remember what he played. What did he play before? It was Sevilla he came from. What team did he come from?
Villarreal.
Yeah, Villarreal. I get those two teams mixed up. But he was a winger for them, right? He wasn't an all and out nine. He was playing more of a wide player. So he's learning the craft of becoming a striker in the Prem week in, week out. You know, and he's producing. So I'll give him some grace. I mean, he has potential, but. Yeah, you guys are the most dangerous team, honestly, just because of your attacking options. I mean, we didn't see a João Felix appearance today. We didn't see a lot of players, you know, on the field. So, but Kukure, I didn't see his red card. I didn't understand what happened.
Man, it's idiotic, bro. And it's just like I'm still seeing some vestiges of you know, the old regime where we just get silly cards for no reason. Just for no reason, bro. You get a yellow card in the last 2 minutes of the game. Cool, I get it. Emotions were high. They scored. There was a lot going on. After the match is over, you get into a little scuffle, and then you get another yellow card for no reason. After the match, what are you even arguing with the ref for? Like, what are you actually arguing with the ref for after the match? We got the 3 points. We won. You scored. Like, to go at the ref and then argue and then get into a little scuffle, now you're out for 3 games. Great. Now we a team that already has had defensive issues now is losing a defender. One of our main defenders, one of our fullbacks, when we don't really have left-footed players. Great. So it's just frustrating, bro. It's like, how can you lose your head, especially in a game where you have everything to lose, bro? We're in second place. We're flying high. We're doing well. And then you want to go run your mouth. And that's my thing, you know, with Cucurella specifically. Because last week, we all know what happened with his boots. And then they went and Puma did a whole new ad campaign. Cute. None of this is cute to me, bro. You're messing up. You're slipping. You're almost giving us, you know, you're putting us in a terrible position. And then 7 days later, you're getting yellow cards. You're being a detriment to the team, bro. In a year where we're starting to figure things out, but we're missing our captain because Reece James can't stay healthy. We're looking at some of the players who've been with Chelsea for just a little bit of a tenure to step up and be a little bit mature. And you, as one of the elder statesmen over here, just messing up, bro. It's frustrating. I didn't even want to talk about the yellow or the red card because it's frustrating. We win the game and you get a red card. Like, what kind of sense does that make? But for me, you know, is like I said, these are going to be the lumps that we have to go through to kind of build and build and build, bro. Luckily, we got the 3 points, but who knows now what would have happened if he gets the red card, you know, 5 minutes before. It's just like those little things. Just cleaning up the tidy stuff. Like I said, you just got to clean up the tidy stuff. But yeah, you know, that's what it was. He got a yellow card. He got a second yellow after the game for bad mouthing the ref and just getting into a little scuffle with Brentford. But you know, it is what it is, but we have to learn from this. I feel like deja vu, because I remember Gabriel talking about this with Arsenal and Arteta. You know, when Arteta first came in and they were getting the yellows and the red cards, and you know, Aubameyang was over there being a little whatever in the locker room, and he just had to cut it out. And now we see what happens when a team could get a little bit more mature and, you know, they just have their head on straight. We saw what Arsenal did the last 2 years. So for me, it's like, okay, we're in a position now where we have a good team. We have the players. We have a manager that actually knows what he's doing. But these little childish little, you know, skirmishes here, you know, yellow cards, red cards there, these aren't things that we need to keep if we want to be a championship side. So it's frustrating, but again, it's growing pains. You got to take the good with the bad sometimes.
No, that's a fair assessment. And I really go back, and you said, both of you guys said this, but I just feel as if, like, you know, the amount of options that you guys have, quality options that you guys have, especially in the attack, I just, like Harry said, it makes it for teams, like, difficult for them to, like, prepare against you guys, because it's like, today Cole Palmer, no GA, right? And by no means am I saying that he only plays well when he's either scores or assists.
No, yeah, but I even said it wasn't his best game. He looked better in the second half, but yeah, it wasn't his best game by any means.
But then it's like, you still get a goal from Jackson, and you get a goal from one of your defenders. Like, you know, you got it from someone else on the team. And it's like, next week, like Kerry said, we didn't even see João Felix. We didn't even see Nkunku. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe not for that long. So, yeah, man, I just feel like you guys have the squad depth to really, you know, make things interesting, especially in December. And I mean, I said it last week. I mean, you guys are how many points off of Chelsea now? I'm sorry, Liverpool?
We're only
2 points. Only 2 points.
Or two, yeah, my bad.
Two points. Two, yeah. But they have a game in hand, though.
Telling you, bro. Yeah. Come New Year's Day, January 1st, you guys will be on top of the league.
100%. Look, bro, I'm taking it 1 week at a time. Like I said, we are in a title race, but I don't want to get too ahead. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, bro. We're looking at January 1 when we still have a whole Boxing Day left. Like, we got to get through December first.
Okay.
We got to get through December first.
I mean, your next fixtures aren't too crazy. I mean, you play Everton. Yeah,
you play Fulham. You got Shamrock Rovers. Okay. So, you know, see, the thing about y'all, though, too, is, like, midweek is, like, everyone looks forward to, like, midweek, if you're a player. Because it's like, I can really get right here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
really,
bro. And that's the great thing about being in the Conference League. Our main guys don't travel. So it's really like it's really the time for the Nkukus, you know, like those guys, those Joao Felix, the Mudricks, those fringe players to step up. I said this last week.
Yeah.
What do we look like sending Cole Palmer to -10 degree Kazakhstan?
Yeah, I mean, that
lineup you guys sent, I was like, who are half of these players? You know,
youth, bro. That's we played four Ghanaian youth academy guys in that game. And it's just like, and that's another thing with Maresca. You see that he knows what he's doing. He's like, oh, yeah, let's bring up some of these young guys I've been keeping an eye on because we might need them. We might need them. And so for me, it's cool to see what we have up the pipeline, what, you know, the young guys that we have that, you know, I've been hearing a lot about this, these guys, like our center back, Josh Akinpong. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong, but bro, he's been getting looks at from everyone, and his future at Chelsea was uncertain, and we just signed him to another, I think, 2 or 3 year deal. But he was getting looks at from Madrid, PSG, a lot of teams were looking at this kid, and for me to actually see him play this past week was good. He did a lot of things well. His vision is crazy for a defender. His one-on-one defending is good. He's 18.
Yeah, I know they said that you guys weren't playing him until he signed. I think that
there was a whole thing. It was a whole thing, but you know, we got it done. Signed, the deal is done. He's with us for another 3 years, I believe. So it's just good to see those guys that you've been hearing about, but maybe not. You know, this isn't their time for them to play in the Prem. But I don't know, bro. This team, there's a lot of positives. All the ridicule we got for the last 2-3 years for spending a billion dollar FC, it's coming to fruition. We finally have players now, and we can pick and choose when they play, which is a great issue to have.
Y'all don't even have a boys coming next year. Dude, the Brazilian guy, when he gets there.
What did I say at the top of my segment? Tell the streets. Tell the streets.
He's a solid player.
He's a solid player.
And he's he's a plug and play now.
Yeah, he's a plug and play now. Absolutely. By next year, I mean, I think he'll do well next year. But yeah, I think in 2 years, he's gonna have that left wing spot down. You guys are gonna be a problem between him, Jackson, Palmer, and then you know,
Sancho, personal Neto.
Yeah, between Sancho, Neto, and Nani, I think, Nani too. You guys are in a good spot. Mudrik's going to have to come out of that number 10, though, man. You're going to have to give me that.
Yeah, y'all going to have to do some jersey shuffling over there.
And so it'd be just to close it out, not even my shout out, but I'm glad you brought up Nani. In his last four games, 1 goal, 3 assists. Last 4 Premier League matches, 1 goal, 3 assists. Right after Maresca was just like, Nani, he's a great player, but I need him to have that killer instinct. When he scores, I need him to go try to get another one. When he assists, I need him to try to get another one. Told you, bro. Nani, that's my YN. Nah, that bro, is my good. YN, man. And he's getting, I'm just saying, bro, that spot is his to lose. He is our right winger.
He needs that though. Like, from, I'm not saying anything about his character, but you know, if he's hearing that, like, you know, he's a young guy too. So, like, you know, if he's hearing that from him, like, okay, I have to really, you know, be honest. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not about, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, cause some of these young guys, I just feel like it's just, they're talented, but it's the consistency is where it's.
And that's why I love my manager, bro, because the team hasn't changed from last year. The only thing that's changed is the manager. And you can see his attitude. He cares about training. He cares about how you present yourself in training. And he shows, bro, you show up in practice week in, week out, I will give you the chance to play.
Yeah, he created healthy competition.
Healthy competition, but also the understanding that, look, I know you're good, but I expect more of you. You know, bro, like we've all had managers like that. We've all had coaches growing up where, look, we know you're the best on the team, or we know how good you are, but because you're this good, we expect more of you. And sometimes as a kid, you don't really understand it, but you're starting to see what that kind of mindset can do to these young players. And, bro, it's inspiring for real. Like, we look really, really good right now. I can't hold you. We look great.
That's fair, man. Let's get out of here, man. Let's do shout outs, crash out. Well, I mean, lock of the week first. What was yours?
The under for, I think I did the Villa match. Hold on, let me check.
I thought you did Liverpool and.
Oh yeah, I did the Liverpool under. That did not hit.
That last goal from Jota, I was like, "Are you kidding?"
I know, that was so sick.
But yeah, mine hit under 3.5 in the main Manchester derby, man. So if you've been following me this year, man, you've made some money. So, you know,
I had the under 3.5 for Liverpool versus Fulham. Unfortunately, did not hit. Mike had Cole Palmer goal or assist versus Brentford. Did not hit. Salam under 3.5 in the Manchester derby did hit. And then Gabriel, Arsenal, Everton over 2.5 goals. That also did not hit. So tough week in the office. Shout out Salam for his pick. But we'll be right back. We're gonna GRG our picks this week. I'm calling it GRG on the picks.
Okay. Who's before we get into predictions, shout outs, crash outs.
I got one shout out actually, and it's not football as we know it, but it is football, American football, bro. Shout out to Coach Prime and shout out to Travis Hunter, man. I know Colorado rocking right now, Kerry, man. It's, bro, as just like a black man, just looking at Prime and what he's been able to do just in his coaching career, bro. Starting at Jackson State, going to a HBCU specifically to prove the point that I can win wherever I go. And then for him to go to a school that had one win the previous year, people looking at him like, why would you go to Colorado? So I can build a program. And in 2 years, they went from one win to having almost a 10-win season and a Heisman winner. And this is a Heisman winner that not only is he a baller, probably going to go top five in the draft, but he's just like Prime, plays both offense and defense. So you could tell that Prime took him to be, oh, this is going to be my project. I'm going to make this guy one of the best in the world. And he did it, bro, in 2 quick years. Colorado's now like the team everybody wants to be, bro. Everybody wants to be Colorado. They see the rappers. They see Coach Prime. They see the camaraderie. They see the brotherhood. They see how they all protect each other, bro. And that's what it's about. So I just want to say shout out to Coach Prime, bro. It's just exemplary of what a manager, a coach, a human being can be, especially in the sports world. We don't see enough of us in these high positions, but we don't see enough of us celebrating us, you know. And so you just got to say shout out to Coach Prime, man. Just seeing Travis Hunter win that was just super cool, man. It's just super cool.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that. I was fortunate to get to see 7 games in that span. I'm not too far from the university, but to watch it live, man, he's a baller. But shout out to Shador too, man, because Cats, you know, that first season he went there, you know, people were talking about him. The O-line wasn't really good. They went and got, you know, like Coach Prime said, he went and got those dogs, you know, and turned that program completely around. Shador, I mean, shout out to him. Even the older son who does all the film work and everything like that. I know you guys don't see it during the TV timeouts and stuff like that. I mean, he is on it, you know, having the camera, taking care of the footage. He does all of their social media campaign. Mm-hmm. I remember when we first moved out here, the tickets to the game we went to, they were winless. I think, no, they won one game that season. The tickets were like $3. It wasn't even 500 people in the stadium for the game that I attended at the time. And, you know, now
that's
it's
crazy.
After the second season, every week they play at home is the hottest ticket in college football to get. To go from, you know, under $20 for a ticket to those same seats going for like $297 to even some areas $500, depending where you want to sit. You know, it was truly amazing to watch. And he did it gracefully. He did it like boastfully. He did it with integrity, no scandals or any kind of stuff outside of that. So I got to say shout out to them also too. And, you know, go Buffs.
No, those are both great points. And when you guys were saying that, it made me think like, you know, shout out to Travis Hunter. Shout out to Prime, man, because especially nowadays, bro, I just feel like it's so hard in youth sports for young players to find people that they can trust and find people that, you know, will actually help them and not look for any type of return from it. You know, I don't think by any, like, that's Prime. Prime has everything. So, like, you can't, there's really nothing that you can really give him that he doesn't already have himself. So I think this is just one of those unique situations where, you know, you have a player, a talented player, a talented kid who trusts, you know, someone who gets into where he needs to be. And, you know, that's not always the case. These kids nowadays, man, all across sports, I just feel as if, like, they're so much more talented than I feel like I was at my age. They just have more access to things. So it's like, you know, especially with NIL and stuff now in American sports, it's like, you know, everyone's trying to make a buck off of someone. So this is one of those unique situations where it actually works out. And, you know, the best player in the game actually gets rewarded. And no one's doing what he's doing. In my lifetime, I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't watch Deion Sanders in college or in the NFL, really. You know what I'm saying?
This is the first time young, for real.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm seeing someone that's like – I remember, bro, even seeing it for the first few weeks, like I was like, okay, he did it this week. Like, can he do it next week? And it's like, oh, shit, next week he actually caught 2 touchdowns and an interception. The game, interception. So it's like, nah, man. Shout out to Prime. Shout out to all those guys, man. Travis Hunter. That was a good shout out.
Yeah, no, it was. And statistic, it said like he played like of all possible snaps, 90% of snaps, and that's including the games that he missed due to injury. He still played 90% of all snaps. And to touch on. Yeah, you guys are a little younger than me, so you never seen anything like it. We had a player like that at Ohio State before. Shout out to Chris Gamble.
You saw him. Oh, Chris Gamble,
For Ohio State.
He was number seven or number four.
Yeah, he used to wear number 7. He was the first time I ever saw anything like that, but I don't think he played as many snaps as Travis Hunter did. And then this is where my respect for Travis Hunter goes up a little tier. Doing that in the altitude, man, that's a different monster. That's a different monster.
He's different, bro. He's, you know, simply built different.
Different monster. So, you know, like I said, that's a great shout out.
Yeah, as it pertains to regular football, I mean, for me, my shout out and crash out is all in the same game. Shout out definitely goes to Pep City. Get well soon. Bro, they scored that goal. Jamie goal. They scored that goal, and then he looked in the camera, and he did his little thing, and I was like, man, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. So shout out to – and then obviously Nunez.
Yeah.
Get well soon. But, yeah, shout outs definitely. I'm mad. What more can you say about him, man? Like, I'm mad, bro. Shout out to him, bro. Shout out to Bruno. Shout out to everybody, man. Shout out to Ruben Amorim. That's my shout out.
All right. Let's who y'all see next?
We see Tottenham in EFL Cup. And then we have Bournemouth, which is a trap game.
It is a travesty.
You do the Bournemouth game. I'll do the Spurs game versus in the Carabao Cup. We play Spurs. No hesitation. 3-0. We win. And the reason why I say that wholeheartedly, though, I think we'll win. Maybe not 3-0. Wholeheartedly, I think we'll win. Just because, again, like I said, when we were talking about Spurs earlier, I feel like that team really wasn't tested today. Shout out to them for scoring 5, but we're not Southampton. And I think that we could really get at that back line, especially if, you know, I'm not able to sustain his form. That's crazy, bro. He's played damn near every game, except the Arsenal game he hasn't started. So, yeah, I think we're able to get through to the next round of the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. The Bournemouth game, I don't know if it's home or away. I can't tell. If it's away,
it's home. It's Old Trafford.
It's at Old Trafford. All right. Well, I'll say 2-1 to us at Old Trafford against Bournemouth. Bournemouth, they always find a way to score a goal, man. I don't know what it is about this team. They just find a way to score a goal. But I think we're going to win that game.
We see Shamrock Shake.
Man, he called him Shamrock Shake.
You see the Shamrock Rovers in Conference League midweek. That game is at home. So it'll be nice to see some of the players that don't usually get some run in the Prem. I would say maybe 3-1. I will go with 3-1 because we'll get scored on. And then over the weekend, who do we see? We see Everton. And it's at Everton. I would love to see a clean sheet there. I think we'll get the win, but I'm really looking at clean sheets now. So I would say 3-0 at Everton. So 3-1 midweek, and then I want to say 3-0. Speaking to an existence or clean sheet.
I mean, that's the thing with y'all, though, man. Like, you guys could score six goals in 2 games. That's, you can score 6 goals in 1 game.
We gonna make some shake over there on Shamrock.
Is that home? Are you guys going to Ireland for that game?
No, we'll be at home for that.
Okay.
Let's say some people ain't making that trip. I'm sick. good episode. We got a lot of football coming in the next few weeks. We got midweek, weekend games. And then before we know it, Boxing Day will be here. And then before we know that, New Year's Day will be here. But it's been a great 2024 for sure. Lastly, Solo, Zion, Manchester is red. I don't know. There's so many things.
Taylor too. We ain't forget
about you. Taylor too. I ain't forget you hiding behind there. No, don't worry. I'm gonna tag you. Don't worry. The thing is, Taylor's gonna come back and say some shit like,
"When you've seen us at your worst, nothing can get you down." It'll be some inspirational.
Yeah, imperfections are perfect.
Like, hey, shout out Taylor, man. Shout out.
You've never won 4 in a row. I ain't gonna lie though, Kerry, when I saw that banner, I was salty. I was like, wow.
Oh, I was too. I was like, the audacity at this stage.
Yeah. I was like, they really went there. And it's crazy, man, because kids will never now, like, they won't know, like, bro, Man City, all this shit that you adore now, man, this shit was bought off of fucking, what they call it, Tfue.
I know we're done, and it just came to mind. So y'all see that the city, like the charges, they've come to a conclusion.
What they say
officially?
Yeah, they said that official. So they've come to a conclusion, but it's going to take them a few months to, like, I guess, come out with a verdict. I'm gonna get more information next week. I'll have more information on that. But I saw it randomly, so I guess. Whatever decision was going to be made has been made, but for them to file it and go ahead with whatever they have to do is going to take a few months. So I guess we'll find out here in the next couple of months what the verdict was.
That tells me one of two things. Either A, they're...
doesn't sound great. If it's taking them a few months to compile everything together, it don't sound great.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great. It sounds like you got X amount of weeks to pay this fine. whatever this fine is, you got X amount of weeks to pay that. You know, or B, shit, maybe they actually do got... I just don't see them, like... I don't see them, like, leaving the Premier League. It just doesn't make sense.
Relegation would be kind of...
Bro, that's ugly, bro. Like, they're not going to mess up their pockets like that. You can't relegate Man City. I'm sorry.
This is what it is, man. I don't think they'll relegate him. They just know they got the cash to pay it.
Yeah.
So it's a cash grab. That's what they're going to do.
Facts.
They're going to come get the money. If they do get relegated, I'll be happy that they're going back and playing on the Ocho.
that would be wild. I mean, I think I would love you. It'd be interesting to see them get relegated to the lowest level of English football and come back. How many years would it take them? I mean, because they would get promoted every year.
I mean, they got the money to go up every year. So, four seasons it would probably take them to get back up?
Damn. By then, Garnacho would be what? 20?
You think they get relegated all the way down? All the way down the line?
I mean, I don't think they put them down one tier. They'll have to at least hit them two.
Yeah, they would. You can't even go to the champ. You got to go to League Two.
It's 116 charges, man. Like, you don't know what that.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a lot, you know. But I don't want to speculate, you know. But to me,
that's what I'm saying. I don't want to speculate either. But I'm trying to see if I can find.
To me, the happy medium would be: hey, we know they got the cash. Let's just find them a few mil. They're gonna cut them a check, and it's gonna be business as usual. To me, that's the best way to do it. To also show, you know, some integrity in the league a little bit too.
You know them; they're very hospitable. Yeah, we got your house, car, all that shit.
They got the money. They got the money. We know that for sure. The money ain't the issue.
Yeah, nah, most definitely.
They just bought a player.
I said that there was 100. How many charges they have? 116, right?
It was 116. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked,
they said it was 100. I don't know if this is real, but this is Twitter for you, man. It was 116 seconds between the goal that Bruno scored and Ahmad scored.
Yo, it's something wrong with y'all, man.
I'm just saying, man. Y'all put me on Twitter every
stat of the day.
Yeah, man. I can't stop. Yeah, man. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Carrie, thank you for hopping on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Gabriel, have a good night. Good luck to you and your future endeavors.